Random thought. What is a mistake that you've made at work that you could have gotten fired for? And reason why I asked, there's this California gas station manager who actually did get fired because they accidentally set the gas prices at 69 cents a gallon. And the losses that they took was around $20,000 in losses, which that's a huge mistake. Like, I get maybe you catch it 5 minutes later. You're like, wait a minute. Why is there this huge line? We've never been this busy. Like, at some point, you would catch that a little bit earlier.
Yeah.
But don't know what this person was doing. Probably that California green stuff.
Yeah.
That's legal. But what's a mistake that you have made that you probably could have got fired for?
So, a mistake, not something I did on purpose. Because that changes the entire story.
Of course.
There are a lot of things I could talk about that we did that, my wife watches this podcast. So, when I was pledging, I was, you're up all night and all kind of stuff. And I was working at a radio station in Fayetteville at the time, right? And Foxy 99. And I remember I was running the weekend show. It was a weekend countdown show. And this is back in the day when you had to run it by CD. So it comes on CD and you have it in segments. So when this segment's done, you go to commercials, which you play off the cart, and then you run to the next, you go to the next CD, right? And next track on the CD. Well, the problem is you put it in, you're tired. You've been up all night. I mean, this show starts at 6 a.m. You're like, let me just sit back for a second. And 30 minutes go by after that track stops. Luckily, the PD was asleep at that time, too, because you wake up, you're like, it's quiet. There's nothing on the air. You know, I think Statue of Limitations has gone by. So it wasn't $20,000 worth, so it wasn't like this gas station manager. And I also wasn't a manager at the time. So, I mean, I was a part-time kid at that time. So, but yeah, that's easily fireable. That's a fireable offense. You can't fall asleep when you're on duty flying a couple million-dollar ship. You can't do that. What about you?
I could think of so many, and I think most of them all revolve around the restaurant industry at some point back in the day. But here was one that I probably should have got fired for because I didn't do anything about it. Mm. Early in my career, I had these two cooks. And one of them, she was kind of like my lead. And you had this one guy. And it's a busy Friday night. I'm out running the floor. I come back into the kitchen. And all I hear is the screaming. And I go back behind the line. And these two are about to go at it. And he has like a big giant grill brush ready to fight her. She has a big knife and a spatula. And they're about to go at it. I was just like, what the hell is going on? And I'm just sitting there like this. But at the time, in my young part of my career, I'm like, we got to get through the dinner shift. I don't have time to deal with this. So I need y'all to calm it down and
put that energy into the goddamn food.
Yeah, put that into the riblets and let's get the food out. And then we can deal with this later. And it wound up being a thing because I wound up firing him and not her.
Mm.
And I should have fired both of them. Should have fired both of them.
Yeah.
But, lesson learned, you know, from a leadership standpoint, but that was just crazy. I've never had a almost fight happen in the middle of the ship, a violent fight at that. And, you know, my boss was like, Terrell, what were you thinking? And I was just like, it was a Friday night. It was busy. But look at the numbers. Look at what we did.
I will say, I thought this story was going in a different direction. You said you heard some screaming, and I was like, what were they doing back there?
No. That was only after hours. That didn't happen in the middle of the shift.
I mean, because I remember going into an IHOP after the club one night, and we just placed our order, and all of a sudden here, I can't take this shit no more. And the cook walks out. We're like, well, I guess we're not eating tonight.
That's the benefit of knowing how to cook. That's when you suit up. Hey, give me an apron. I got this. Call it out to me. What do we got? Eggs, pork chop and eggs on one. Got it. What's the next one?
Oh, my God. Welcome to the show. I'm Yanni Root.
And I'm just Terrell. You ever been out somewhere and overheard two people having crazy conversations?
Yeah, kind of like this one. Well, we are those people, and we've been having these conversations since college.
Yep, it's the Regular Guys Random Thoughts Podcast, episode 89. Be sure to like, subscribe, and definitely leave a comment.
Yes, please subscribe, and tell a friend to subscribe too, because Taylor has made another deal with the devil, and he did this in the YouTube comment section a couple weeks ago, and he said if we reach 2,000 subscribers by the start of the next season of Married at First Sight, he will consent to doing season 15. We got about 2 weeks to go. I thought we'd already be there. Apparently, we're only halfway there now. We need just a little over 200 subscribers. Hey, you know, a lot of folks have said, I've done it. I need to grab. Hey, get some more folks to do it. That's all we need to do. We get there. We've got till July 5th. We get to the 2,000 subscribers. Tells in for us to do season 15, San Diego, Married at First Sight. So let's do it. I mean, I know if we do it and we surpass it, we can get him to do another deal with the devil. It's real easy.
Not, I'm looking at the math. Statistically, 20 to 30 new subscribers a week. We don't have enough weeks left. So I'm going to go ahead and sign up for that. I'm going to sign up for that axe throwing league that's at 7 o'clock on Wednesdays. Because I know I don't have to watch it. I'll go ahead and pay my deposit now. Non-refundable. That's how confident I am that I'm not going to have to do it.
He went from a bowling league in yesterday's recap of 90 Day Fiancé. Now it's an axe throwing league. I'm scared to hear what's next. So, guys, go ahead and subscribe. Get your friends to subscribe so we can go ahead and get him locked in for season 15, Married at First Sight. Now, back to the show. A lot of stuff happening over the last week and a half. We didn't do a show last week because you were in Cancun trying out for the new version of Baywatch. We saw that. That was an amazing run on the beach in slow motion. I think you have the slow motion rundown. Now we just need to figure out how you can get there in time to save the person that's drowning.
The comments on my Facebook from that were hilarious.
They were. So, I love it. Somebody's like, hey, you're better off just yelling, hey, stop drowning.
They were hilarious. I cracked up on that.
You know what's? I kind of find this hilarious as well too. As we get into For the Love of Sports, it looks like the LIV Golf Tour, but it's really the 54 Golf Tour, right? And it's this new golf tour, and it's of course it's funded by the Saudis. It's considered sports washing, right? And they're throwing a bunch of money at a lot of pros to join their league. The thing that's coming to me is the PGA's response to it, right? And the fact that they're like, they're really against it. They suspended all the players that have gone. So Phil Mickelson, Dustin Johnson, Patrick Reed, and a couple others who've gone to play in the inaugural event. And the thing about it is there's a lot of money being offered in this league, right? Like, take, for instance, Phil Mickelson made, I think, just over $94 million on the PGA Tour throughout his career, right? They just, the 54 Golf Tour offered him $200 million over the next 5 years. Dustin Johnson made $75 million over his career. They offered him $125 million. Mm. I mean, it makes sense financially at the end of the day for them to go do this and take these paydays, right? But you hear people going, what do you mean it's not bettering golf, it's not, and if you're just doing it for the money, then what are you doing it for? And I'm like, you guys on the PGA Tour making a crap load of money, way more money than Arnold and Jack Nicklaus paid for. And there's a reason you're doing it as a career. You're making money, not just for the betterment of it. And I think it's just really interesting to see everybody else, including journalists, Jim Gray, saying they shouldn't do this. And I saw somebody in the comment section say to Jim Gray, now, you work for CBS right now. But if Fox Sports offered you a contract that was going to pay you 3 to 4 times as much as you're making now, and you work less, 4 times less than what you're working now, would you not take the deal? And I'm thinking, that's a great point. Are they wrong for taking more money to work less for this?
No. I mean, I think it's their talent. They can do what they want. Now, they have to look at their contracts to make sure there isn't any breach of contract with anything they have with the PGA or any of their sponsors. But if this is an opportunity for you to make money, do you. It's your career. Run with it. I think the only reason why this is bothering people is the PGA loses money on it.
Yes.
Other people are going to get their cut, just like if the PGA sponsored an event. But this is a threat to the PGA. I mean, think of when you had the ABA and then the NBA came out. Well, yep. ABA couldn't keep up with what the NBA did, and eventually ABA went away. PGA is like, wait a minute. this is a threat because y'all are coming in with big dollars. It's not like it's just a little bit more money. They're coming in with money that, you know, PGA, it's not that the PGA can't keep up with. The PGA doesn't want to keep up with because the people that run the PGA would make less money.
They're going up against oil money. They can't compete against it.
Well, true.
It's like Texas A&M versus Alabama right now in the NIL deal. The oil money is a little deeper. And I so you're right. It's not like NFL, USFL, XFL, right? But NFL and the AFL, they end up merging because, again, competing leagues, of course, different time. This is a lot more money. And you're right. The PGA obviously feels threatened because like somebody like Phil Mickelson, who they suspended him, and he's like, look, I've worked hard to earn a lifetime membership. And I worked hard to give back to the PGA Tour and the game of golf throughout my 30 plus years of professional golf. And I've earned that lifetime membership. So I believe it should be my choice. And he's right. How do you give him a lifetime membership and go, okay, now, well, you can't play on our league because you go play, you played for this one. That man has earned the right. Now, if he had played 30 tournaments, I get that. Okay, no, but he's given 30 years to the PGA. He's been there. And he's done a lot for the PGA over the years that somebody like that, who is definitively going to be in the Hall of Fame or should be, because there are even people who are saying that they should scrub all his records. Why? Because he's going to play for a rival league and make more money? That makes no sense.
If I was him, I'm like, look, I appreciate all the time I spend here, but I'm about to make more money ever in one tournament than I ever have with you guys. So be mad. If I can't play with y'all anymore, fine. It's not that, doesn't mean I can't play golf anymore. And they're going to have another tournament. And guess what? They're probably going to pay me more again. So do you. I'm fine. And Phil Mickelson's going to be $200 million? Yeah. Fine. Ban me from the PGA. Who cares?
PGA has had a monopoly on professional golf in the States. And I think that's the big problem right here. So
they're just threatened, and they should be. They have every right to be threatened because this is huge, especially if it goes well.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness, this is going to be a game changer for the PGA. They're scrambling.
Yeah. No, exactly. Only thing they have to rest on right now is history. Speaking of history, Steph Curry, he's constantly rewriting the history books from behind. A half court, not even the 3-point line. That dude is so ridiculous, man.
It was phenomenal. It was phenomenal to watch. And I was saying from the beginning that Golden State was going to win this. And I thought it was going to go to game 7 just because they can win it in Golden State. Because the way Golden State plays sometimes, it's like, okay, y'all ready to start doing this now? Okay. And then they just kick it in. But watching Steph had moments where he's just shooting brick after brick. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, once he hits, it's lights out after that. And he was double teamed, triple teamed. I mean, the quadruple teamed. I mean, the dude was doing, it wasn't just outside. He was going on the inside. He was just doing some amazing things that I'm so glad that he got the MVP.
Yeah.
I think everybody felt the emotion that he was feeling. I think the whole team, you know, come from where they were after losing that championship, their last championship.
Mm-hmm.
After KD left, to where they are now, they've had to battle. And so I thought it was awesome for him and Steve Kerr. I mean, Steve Kerr is trending to be the next Greg Popovich.
I will say, watching that game 6, right? And you're right. Once they flip the switch, it's on because Boston came out. 14-2 is how that game started. And the funny thing is I think when it was 12-2, the announcers go, Golden State's ready for this. They prepared for this. They knew Boston was going to come out hot. And as soon as they said that and it went 14-2, Golden State said, all right, now let's go score the next 21 points.
Yeah.
And the game was never there after that. It was amazing because you had all this energy. Boston started off and they went, all right, y'all ready now? Let's go.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and all of them played well. Mm-hmm. You had Draymond, Poole, Clay, Looney. I mean, all of them played amazing. And the thing that trips me out is like everybody that gives, you know, Steph hell for, you know, well, there's this. And it's all this asterisk behind him being a great player. But one thing I love about Steph is that and he's the only one I've heard of doing this. I mean, if there's anyone else who's done this in NBA history, educate me on it. But he's the only one I know that was the star.
Mm-hmm.
And said, hey, Kevin Durant, you want to come over here? I'll be number 2.
Yeah.
Go for it. mm-hmm. and then let Kevin Durant be number one for 2 years mm-hmm. and then leave. And he's like, all right, well, let me put my number one captain shirt back on.
Yep.
And then eventually brought them back to win another championship. Who's done that? Jordan would never be number two.
Hell no.
Kobe would never let someone join for him to be number two.
Mm-mm.
Ever. LeBron wouldn't join to let someone be number two. That's why him and Kyrie Irving didn't get along.
Yep.
Yeah. So that's huge.
Yeah, and that was a problem with Shaq and Kobe, because Shaq didn't want Kobe to be number one. He still wanted to be the number one. And the only way he went to Miami, he allowed Dwayne Wade to be number one, which is why they were successful. You know, an interesting thing in that too is, so I saw this clip pop up on IG the other day, right? And it was Mike Tyson saying, I want to be a, yeah, great is cool, but I want to be a good person. Because I know a lot of great people who aren't good people, right? And yeah. the person said, yeah, it's easy to be great. He goes, no. It's not easy to be great. Because you can have talent, but if you don't work at that talent, it's going to be wasted. And I think that's the thing a lot of people miss, because they just go, oh, Steph can shoot, whatever, and that's it. Steph Curry works at it. And I mean, now, granted, he causes everybody from the Pee Wee Leagues all the way up to just shoot from anywhere they can on the court just because they think, oh, well, Steph can do it, I can make it too. And that's where all these air balls are coming from, right? But Steph practices this shit. Consistently, you know, and it's to the point that I think they said he put on 15 pounds of muscle because he was a scrawny kid for the longest time in the NBA, but and they'd always push him around. Okay, well, let me bulk up a little bit and still not lose what he does. And you think, oh, he just shoots from anywhere in the court, but he also takes it to the hoop at any given time. And so I think it's mm-hmm. that to me plays a lot more to his greatness. His ball handling skills, unmatched. I don't think that gets enough yeah. credit, what he does. When they, like you said, double, triple, quadruple teaming, when the bench gets up, comes off the bench and they start guarding him too, and it's 9-1.
You got the cheerleaders trying to throw a pom-pom in his face.
Yeah, when all of that's happening and he still is able to shoot from half court and make it nothing but net.
He does, and he's been shooting like that forever. And the thing that I don't think Steph and his brother get enough credit for is their dad.
Mm-hmm.
They were learning to shoot like this from the beginning. Yeah. It wasn't like I got into NBA and let me see if I can shoot from half court and shoot these three-pointers. He's been doing this since he was little. Mm-hmm. And so if you're constantly getting good, I mean, that is it's just an amazing talent. And mm-hmm. the fact that he is not just an outside game. He has an inside game, the way he sees the court, the passes he makes. And there's some times where I'm just like, why would you do a stupid bounce pass like that?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he'll do a turnover or whatever. But what I like about him is he can mess up, but it doesn't get in his head. He's going to keep doing these things.
Yeah.
And it works. And the whole team believes in him.
Yeah.
And so he's not the biggest guy on the court, but in heart, he is.
Indeed.
And everybody sees that, you know, so you can't take away anything from him. And I still would put him in the conversation of greatest mm-hmm. of all times. I mean, it doesn't mean the greatest, you know, power forward or the greatest center. Just mm-hmm. one of the greatest of all times that we've seen in our lifetime.
If you're building a team, you definitely want him on it because at least, you know, he gets hot, he's shooting, and it's going to be good. The thing about it, too, I think, and two things before we get off of the Warriors championship, two things I want to point out. One, on the court, teamwork. And we always talk about teamwork when it comes to work and just getting stuff together and, you know, reaching that goal. But you watch that team play. They can have a wide open shot, but if the next person has a more wide open shot, they're going to make the extra pass. If you notice what they do, they pass that ball around so much. And sometimes they do mm-hmm. this stupid shit like it's a 2-on-1 instead of going to the hole, back up and take the three. Sometimes you hit it, which is great. Sometimes you miss. You know, live by the three, die by the three. But one thing I love about them, when they start playing that and moving without the ball, that's the key thing. Why is Steph open so much? Why does he get all these looks, him and Clay? Because they move without the ball. But also that extra pass. Sometimes it's that extra pass. Mm-hmm. And sometimes in order for you to shine, it doesn't mean that you have to be the one to take the shot. It's passing it to the next person and letting them take that shot. And I think that's the key that's missed a lot of times, not just in sports, but work as well. Because it's okay to let somebody else do it. It's okay.
Yeah, true. And you bring up a good point. Like when it comes to your professional career, it's not always about you. Sometimes you got to let someone else, you know, you got to give the assist mm-hmm. help the rest of the team. You could be the person that's the badass and it's all going to be on your shoulders. But what happens is if you call out sick, everything doesn't work because everything is driven by you. But yep. if you help pass and teach the other people to be great, like Steph does with his team, mm-hmm. you know, who knows what could happen in your professional career. But kudos to them. I mean, I'm happy for the Golden State Warriors. I'm not a bandwagon fan. I'm still a Laker fan. So maybe we'll get them in the West. Maybe.
Get what? Steph Curry to join the Lakers? Maybe move the Warriors to L.A.? Is that what you're looking for? I mean, what do you
think? No. Not what I'm thinking at all.
You know, the other thing, though, and this is a story popped up quite a bit during the, I think, after, was it game five? I think it was, game four or game five. Steph Curry's dad was there with a woman, and his mom was there with a guy. Come to find out that they're dating, right? That couple, they used to date, they were married too. So think about it. His parents are dating a formerly married couple.
Wait.
Yes.
Wait. Wow.
Exactly what you're about to ask. But go ahead and clarify to everybody else, because I may have just confused everybody the way I put that. But go ahead.
So Steph's mom's date mm-hmm. and Steph's dad's date were married to each other.
Yes.
It's a different world.
Hey, I was just like, you know, rich people problems, man.
Yeah. I mean, hey, good for you. I couldn't do it, but good for you.
Oh, my God. Look, before we get out of here, man, this bullshit has got to be Biden can't win for shit, man. I mean, no matter what, he cannot catch a break. Just riding a bike stops to talk, because had he rolled by, it would have been a problem. Like, the president wouldn't even speak to us. So he stops and then falls the fuck over.
And I mean, it's sad. You don't like to see anybody fall off the bike. And
no, speak for yourself. I do.
Well, he was saying that his feet were stuck in the pedals, mm-hmm. Those little deals. And I'm just like, why would you use those? You're not like racing anybody. It's just kind of a nice bike ride, bike stroll. You know, he had his helmet on, gloves, but he falls. And of course, people on the right are going to use that he's incompetent to run the country. And don't be wrong, Biden has some issues, you know, that we can all agree to that. But like, the dude's riding a bike. He tried to stop to talk to some supporters and some kids. Mm-hmm. Cut the man some slack.
Two things. One, why was he wearing those shoes to fit into it? And you have not ridden a bike in a long time, so you probably don't remember this feeling. Remember when you were riding and your foot slipped off the pedal and but it came up and hit your shin?
Mm-hmm.
Biden won't be able to walk for a month if that happened to him now. So, look, I felt the pain go through my shin just now, just thinking about it. So you know how that would be, right? So there's that. And two, Biden was riding a bike. I think that we have forgotten how much energy it takes to ride a bike, right? I mean, you think because you go into Planet Fitness and you jump on, or Crunch Fitness or whichever one you go into, that's $10 a month, and you ride their little stationary bike, you're doing something. I bought a bike years ago, right? I was in Charleston, I bought a bike. I'm like, yes, because I'm going to get out, I'll ride some more. I got on that bike, rode down the street, got to the stop sign, and said, why the hell did I buy this shit? Turned around and went right back home.
Well, okay, like, now to your first point, I do remember as a kid, you know, when that your foot slip off and the pedal hit your back of mm-hmm. your calf. But I remember that happening when I'm going downhill and we're racing. Biden's not doing that. He's like, come on, Secret Service, see if y'all can catch up. He's not doing that. He's just taking a nice little bike ride, getting a little bit of cardio in, not going too fast. So I can't imagine his feet slipping off the pedals like that. A, right? B, mm-hmm. If he was out going for this stroll, again, it was not a 5K race, you know, that he was in to go that fast. He was just going for a good stroll, just getting some, you know, mobility going. So I just don't think you need all that. But still, I think it's one thing that it's so easy for people to make fun of everybody, right? Yeah. I mean, hell, we do it, you know, so it's so easy. I'm just like, dude, there's so much to talk about, make fun of Biden about. Let's get off of fell off the bike. He fell off the bike and still got up and then mm-hmm. talked to the people and the supporters that were there trying to talk. And it was like kids. He was talking. It wasn't like a press interview.
Right.
Where they're like, Biden, tell us what's going on with gas prices. He's just talking to, I think a little girl asked him, like, what's, you know, is it hard to be president or something like that? And he was like, mm-hmm. well, you know, it's like any other job. Some things are hard. Some things are easy.
Like, I'm like, well,
tell me about the easy stuff that you're dealing with, Biden. I'd love to hear about that. Because right now, everything sounds pretty hard.
Including tell me about the easy. Stop on a bike.
You can't even do this. You can't even do this.
Look, just be glad he wasn't out for a jog like Bill Clinton wearing them Michael Jordan rookie year shorts. Them Larry Bird shorts. You don't want to see Biden running in them shorts. So be glad he was on the bike. Oh, my God. Look, don't forget, please. Tell a friend to tell a friend to tell a friend to subscribe so we can get to our 2,000 subscribers and get Terrell to commit to season 15, Married at First Sight. That starts July 6th. So we have until July 5th to get to those 2,000 subscribers so we can get him locked in with his deal with the devil and we can do Married at First Sight San Diego season 15.
I have axe throwing that night.
Can't make it. You're gonna lose that deposit. I have faith in the prayer warriors. Don't forget, we're back here Sunday night, 90 Day Fiance recap. And then, of course, next Monday, we drop the audio episode for our regular episode. That'll be what, episode 90. And then, of course, Tuesday, we drop the video. So, in the meantime, subscribe, tell a friend, subscribe, subscribe, subscribe. I'm Yanni Root.
And I'm Just Terrell.
Make sure you follow us at Yanni Rude, at Just Terrell, and at RGRT Pod.
Yeah, send us some of your random thoughts or some of the bullshit you found on the internet. We'll talk about it on the show.
It's the Regular Guys Random Thoughts Podcast. Cheers.
Cheers.